back in the 60s, San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury district, they became a high rent area. So many of the people, the hippies, they moved down to the coast of Santa Cruz, and they had children. They got married, not in any particular order, but they did that, and they didn't name their children the names that you would expect, you know, Melissa and Fred and Bob. They didn't know. The people in the mountains around Santa Cruz, they grew accustomed to being creative with names like Frisbee and Time Warp and Spring Fever. And yeah, these are the names they gave their kids. And eventually Moonbeam and Earth and Love and Precious Promise, they all ended up going to public school. And when the kindergarten teacher first met, that's where the kindergarten teacher first met Fruit Stand. Every fall, you know, when the kids, they all go to school, and the parents, they put name tags, you know, they're instructed, you know, put a name tag on your child and kiss them goodbye and send them off to the school bus. And so it was for Fruit Stand. Now, the teachers thought the boy's name was a bit odd, but they tried to make the best of it. Would you like to play with the blocks, Fruit Stand? They offered. And later, Fruit Stand, would you like a snack? And he was shy, and he was hesitant, and he didn't talk much. By the end of the day, his name didn't seem to be that much odder than Heather and Sunray. At dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to the buses. Fruit Stand, do you know which bus is yours? He didn't answer. Nothing different here. He hadn't talked much all day. Lots of children are shy on their first day of school. It didn't matter, though, because the teachers had instructed all the parents, you know, when you put a name tag on your child, on the back of the name tag, write down where his bus stop is. So the teacher simply turned the tag over, and there it said, Anthony. isn't that great? Sorry. Okay, what's in a name? Here's where we got to start. What's in a name? When I, you know, all of our kids, I wanted the name Savannah. And Stephanie wouldn't let me name any of our children Savannah. And I was like, why? I mean, it's a beautiful name. I love the name. And first of all, she says it's too long. If you put Savannah with Baumgartel, I mean, you don't have a chance. It takes a whole day to write a check when your name's that long, you know. But secondly, she points out Savannah means treeless. Baumgartel means tree gardener. She says, I'm not going to have our child be cursed on his first day on the earth, you know? So, you know, what's in it? You got to be careful about names. There's a governor down in Texas. His name's Tom Hogg, and he named his daughter Ima. What are you thinking, you know? So, I don't think anybody here has a child named Judas or Jezebel. Or Adolf. There are certain names. We don't want anything to do with these names. In Proverbs 22, it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Man, it's true of me. I want to protect my name. I hope I have a good name. Man, it's true of a lot of people. People don't want people talking bad about you, your family name, or, because that's your reputation. It's true not only of me, it's true of people, it's true of business as well. And that's why businesses will trademark their names. And it becomes illegal to mess with a company's name. It's protected by law. So we come to the third commandment. And what I want you to see, it's true of God's name as well. That he's protecting his name by law, just like a company would. Don't mess with the company. Don't mess with Coca-Cola. Don't mess with McDonald's. Don't mess with Amazon or UPS. Don't mess with God's name. That's what this is about. It says in Exodus 20, verse 7, I want to give it to you in three ways here. This is the first one's in the NIV, the Bible most of us carry here. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, in the King James, which might be familiar to some people, this is how a lot of us grew up with King James, says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So we're going to have to talk eventually here about what it means to take God's name in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The Message, I thought the Message added it's always eye-opening. This is what the Message says. No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name. God won't put up with it. You get this? This is a big deal to God. This is such a big deal. This is elsewhere in my notes, but I'm going to say it now. There's 613 laws in the first five books of the Bible. And we want to focus on 10, you know, the 10 commandments. And of the 10 commandments, this is number 3. This is a big deal. To not have any other gods before us, to no idols, and to honor his name. Honor his name. It was such a big deal that the history, that the scribes, when the scribes were they would take the word of God and they would rewrite the word of God, and every time they came to the name of God, they would get up and they would wash, they would put on a new robe, they would pick up a new quill, and then they would go back to work and start writing the scriptures again. And sometimes you come to the name of God two or three times in one verse, and they would get up every time, and they would get up and they would wash and they would put on a new robe and they would get a new quill and they would continue writing. The name was so revered. Matter of fact, another thing, that they would not even write the name Yahweh, the name of God. They wouldn't do that. They replaced it with Adonai, which in our Bibles is L-O-R-D, Lord. It's been translated in English to Lord, but there's a difference. If you see Lord in lowercase letters, that's Adonai. If you see Lord, all capitals, L is capital, O is capital, R is capital, D is capital, that's Yahweh. And it's been replaced with Adonai because they had such respect for this name. They feared this name. They didn't dare write this name flippantly. They just didn't write the name at all. This is how they treated the name holy. This is how it used to be. And to make the observation here, God, to be very careful, God does not forbid the use of his name. Matter of fact, he calls on us. He longs for us to call upon his name. We'll give you some verses here. So the thought of to take his name, I would ask you, consider the name of God and take the name of God with you. Wherever you go, it says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on his name. Don't let that just be an expression. To consider, am I doing this? I need to be living this. Matthew 28, what Tyler was talking about. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. We are to be baptized in the name of the Lord. John 14:13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. This is why we pray in the Lord's name. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men. This name has been given to you to save you. John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see a pattern here? It's a lot of focus on the name of God. In Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Chronicles 16:29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. So I give you all these verses. I could give you a lot more verses too. But to understand, we are to call on his name. We are to be baptized in his name. We are to pray his name. We gather in his name. Salvation is found in no other name. We have life in his name. Everything we do is in his name and for his name. We exist to magnify his name and to exalt his name and to praise his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Angels bow down to the name of Jesus. Demons tremble when they hear the name of Jesus. Satan has to flee when he hears the name of Jesus. So God does not forbid the use of his name. He's asking you to call on his name. The issue is when we abuse his name. when we take his name in vain. So what's that mean? The word vain, the word is in Hebrew, it's the word shav. And it means worthless, to make empty, to make nothing. And I think I have written in your outline a couple of different things to give you an idea of what this means. To take the Lord's name in vain is to treat it casually, to treat it carelessly or commonly, to make his name trivial, to treat it flippantly, dishonorably, disrespectfully. You know, Jesus taught us when you pray, hallowed be thy name. Now, I know it's a word we don't use very much, but do you understand what we get a sense when we pray the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. We get a sense of what that means. Holy, reverent is your name above all names. Your name is everything. So we get the sense of who God is, who God is supposed to be. And we understand through the third commandment, don't mess with the name of God. Don't mess with it. George Gallup, he says 65%, and I believe this too, this is what breaks my heart, 65% of Americans fall into the category of casual Christians, which translates as faith in moderation. You know, not too religious, not too holy. Don't want to do that. Don't want to be a Jesus freak, you know, that because people don't like Jesus freaks. God does, by the way, but just people don't. He goes on, he says, being a casual Christian allows you to feel religious without being committed, without truly living by faith. It encourages people to be better, but it falls far, far short of encouraging people to be holy, to be completely surrendered to God. And I got thinking about this. There's somebody called the church today and asking about stuff for the church. I heard Shelly talking that, you know, we dress casually. And we do. I mean, I got jeans on, okay, but I got a tie because I'm just better than most people. But you know, we dress casually, but I got to thinking about this, and I don't know who Shelly was talking to, so if she was talking to you, then, you know, it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, we dress casually. But shame on us if we take our faith casually. Or if we treat the Lord, if we follow the Lord casually, we gotta recognize that, and we gotta see there's an issue here. The word Christian means little Christ. When we wear the name Christian, when we take on the name Christian, that means we represent Him, and His name is trademarked. God has licensed the use of His name to anyone who will use it reverently. But God retains the legal control over his name and threatens serious penalties against unauthorized use of this extremely valuable property, his name. And the punishment is found here in the commandment, Exodus 20, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless. You will be found guilty if you misuse his name. God won't put up with it. There are serious consequences. It says in Matthew 12, this is what Jesus says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Condemned. Think about that. What does that mean? Does that bother you? Does it bother you at all? So then I got to thinking, and this is where the rest of the sermon is going to be, just to give examples of what's going on in our lifetime, in our society, with the name of God. And the first thing, and everybody would recognize this, is just pure blasphemy. The act of insulting or showing contempt for God. Isaiah 52 verse 5 says, all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. And Romans 2:24 takes it a little further than that. It says, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. People are abusing God's name because you're wearing his name, but you're not wearing it reverently. So Paul is talking to Christians here. Watch your behavior. Well, he was talking to Jews there, but watch your behavior. Look at what you're doing. Yeah, I wrote down an illustration here. This is from years ago, Bart Simpson. I never liked the Simpsons. I know some people do. I remember being served communion with somebody with a Simpson shirt on. It bothered me a lot. But Bart Simpson, he displayed contempt when he prayed on one of these little cartoon shows, dear Lord, we made this food, so thanks for nothing. And everybody laughed. And I was disgusted. Christians laugh. It's wrong. God's name is blasphemed all the time on TV. And we get so caught up. I mean, okay, so, and I got caught up this week. What Simon was talking about, all the people taking a knee, dishonoring our nation, dishonoring our flag. And I got mad. I'm thinking, do I get that mad about God's name being abused? Are we just numb to it now? It just is what it is. So there's blasphemy, there's common cursing, which is still common among many who call themselves Christians today. And to think about this, I got to think about this. All the other commandments, you know, when it comes to adultery, when it comes to murder, when it comes to stealing, people do those things, but they hide it. When it comes to taking God's name in vain, people do it in the open. It's almost as if I want everybody to hear me breaking this commandment. I don't get that. I mean, they're so proud of taking God's name in vain. It's as if all, you know, everyone who does it, they want the world to see what they think of God. Using God's name as a cuss word, we know it's wrong, but it doesn't stop a lot of people. It doesn't stop us. When we call God to damn someone or something, to realize how out of line that is with the will of God. When the Bible says, bless those who persecute you, bless them, do not curse them. We are to bless these people who are ticking us off and making us mad, not curse them. We have no right to tell God who to damn. We have no right to invoke God's name flippantly without thinking, because nobody thinks about what they're doing. It's just a saying. We have no right to treat God's name flippantly without thinking about what we're doing, thinking about what we're saying. So when we use God's name in vain, when we use Jesus' name as a cuss word, why Jesus? Why would people do that to the name of Jesus? Why can't you yell at Bob or Fred or somebody else? It has to be, and then I got to think about that. You know, evolutionists, atheists who are evolutionists, they still use our God's name in vain. They should be saying something about monkeys, not God. Our people of other religions, why can't they say chubby Buddha or something, or Allah? But it has to be our God. Why do they do this? Why do they treat our God with such disrespect? And I worry a lot of it is because they see Christians treating God with such disrespect. Maybe they think that's what God wants. Maybe that's what they think God expects, because they're learning this from Christians. Shame on us. Leviticus 24, verse 11, the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse, the name of God with a curse. So they brought him to Moses, his mother. And they put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. And then the Lord said to Moses, take this blasphemer outside the camp. And all those who heard him blaspheme are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him. Whether an alien or a native born, when he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. Now, this is Old Testament law. Praise God, this is Old Testament law. But do you see how the whole community was supposed to take part in this, in the punishment, to say this is not allowed in our presence, this is not allowed among us? For Christians, you know, 75% of America is Christians. If Christians would stand up and say, you don't treat my God like that, I would like to think our culture would change. To think this through here, that we are his witnesses. We exist, Christians, we exist to be his witnesses. And profanity is the opposite of witness. You are communicating that God is meaningless to you, that you do not care about God, that you don't care about what God thinks, you don't care about God's will, you don't care about God's name. You're spitting in the face of God. And I would beg you, if you have this habit, to recognize it for what it is and stop it. And I'm thinking, as soon as I say the third commandment, do not misuse the name of God. Do not take the name of God in vain. Then everybody's thinking, okay, this is really what we're talking about. That we're talking about cussing, right? Well, no, that's part of the story. But then I got some other illustrations here too. What about careless conversations? What about when you say, I swear to God? And you're not swearing to God. It's just a saying. Or, oh my Lord. Or, oh my God. Or what I find very, very common, I'm saying this today hoping I can make a difference, hoping that at least among us we will see it for what it is and we will stop. But when you text something, you know, social media or Twitter or something, OMG, what is that? Is that what I got here? Is one more goal? Open-minded guru? Old mean grandma? I mean, what is that? OMG, we know what that is. Oh my God. And it's everywhere because we have trivialized the name of God. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. You know, please recognize what you're doing and do anything else. OMK, just leave people hanging there. What is that? I don't. XYZ, you know, anything. Here's another one I give you. The sneeze blessing. Which I'm thinking, because somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you. Okay, and here's the thought. If you mean it, that I think it's pretty sweet. But if you're just saying it flippantly, recognize what you're doing. It's just an expression. It's just a saying. And we're dragging God into our meaningless thoughts. We're profaning the name of God. We're taking his name in vain if you're not truly asking for God to bless somebody. Just want to put that one out there, the sneeze blessing. Okay, and then you've got the dinner table prayer. Praying at dinner is a good discipline. It's a good habit. But all my life I've heard, and I'm just wondering, I'm picking on everybody today, okay? So don't think I'm calling you out, because I am, but I'm calling everybody out, all right? But that prayer, and I bless us, O Lord, for these gifts which you're about to receive from the bounty of Christ our Lord, amen. God is touched. Wow. To think that you would call upon him right before you eat that Twinkie. I mean, that just, what is that? It's meaningless. It's thoughtless. There's no reverence. I mean, I would ask you, I mean, it's a wonderful discipline to pray before you eat. Where's the reverence? Where's the taking of the time? And Almighty God, thank you. Thank you. And then at the end of our prayers, we tack on in Jesus' name. Or the end, or abracadabra. I mean, it's just a meaningless formula. We're not calling upon his name. There's power in this name, and we're abusing this name when we make his name meaningless. I wrote down Christian cliches. I can't even say the word. Oh, my Lord, praise the Lord. All these, I mean, they're good things if we mean it. But if we're just saying it, we gotta recognize it. We gotta stop it because it's making God meaningless. Nobody wants to hear you talking if you're not truly praising God, if you're not truly praising his name. Because people recognize, oh, you're just, it's a meaningless expression to you. Or to say God bless you, I hope if you say God bless you, you mean, I really want God to bless you. I heard an example. I'm going to give this to you. Might tick some people off, but this is what I do. Okay, but I heard one of our presidents, and I crossed out his name. He said, thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. Like, can you say that in the same sentence? Really? Can you say that? And politicians, they do it all the time. You know, God bless America. Invoking God, but they're not seeking God. They're not obeying God. And it's become meaningless. I wrote down another one. When we tell, because this is common among Christians. The Lord told me. No, he didn't. If the Lord told you, that's one thing. But if you're just using that, that's false prophecy is what that is. The Lord told me I'm going to marry you. If you hear that from somebody, run. Run. There's no place in the Bible that God told you to marry him or her. It's not in the Word of God. Completely fabricated. And this is what we do. Because we're flippant with the name. We're using the name of the Lord for our agenda. not to honor his name, not to magnify his name, not to exalt his name. In Christian ministry, where would I start here? Using his name but not doing his will. In Matthew 7, this is what it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." I mean, you can talk a good talk, but are you being obedient? And it goes on, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Because they look really religious here. They look like they're doing awesome things in the name of Jesus. "And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Churches that are using the name of God but not doing the will of God. I wrote down another one. I didn't know where to throw it in, but I want to throw it in. It's in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. I have no idea what category to put this in, but it's here, and you need to hear it. And in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "My name will be great among the nations." This is what God is telling his people, his chosen people. "My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought into my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, of its food, it's contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously. Okay. When you bring injured or crippled or diseased animals and offer them as a sacrifice, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name will be feared among the nations." I read this, and I can't tell you, I don't have any profound commentary to give you on this, but can you just let it sink in? And can you see that the Jewish people were guilty of this? And Christians today are guilty of doing the same thing. Because the heart of it, his name is to be feared, his name is to be great, his name is to be magnified, and we're just not doing that. We can make church about everything but that. Another story I got written down here in Acts chapter 19, the sons of Sceva. I always love bringing that. You can't go wrong when you bring up the sons of Sceva in a sermon. In Acts chapter 19, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would go and say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, they were doing this. Well, one day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know. Yeah, I know about Paul, but who are you?" And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered all of them. And he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I just think it's a cool story. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, what are they doing calling out evil spirits when they're naked? I don't get that, you know. And it says here, verse 17, "When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor, as it should be." What's the problem here? You know, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, they don't believe in the name. They're just using the name. They don't say, "In the name of Jesus, who has rescued me, who has redeemed me, who has changed my life in his name." No, he's saying, in the name of Jesus, because it's just a magical formula. Just what you're supposed to say. Shame on us if Jesus' name is just what you're supposed to say. I got one more category that I wrote down. Oaths and vows. Like wedding vows. This one is near and dear to me. This breaks my heart. Weddings all over the place, and people aren't thinking at all about the words they're saying before God. That they're making a vow before God. Shame on us. I'm just a soapbox issue, okay? A wedding is not, what is it? Oh, okay, let me say it another way. A wedding is a worship service. And we have turned it into a photo op. That's all it is in our culture today. But it's a worship service. You come before God and you're seeking God's blessing and you make a vow before God. And our culture today isn't taking that vow very seriously. They're calling upon the name of the Lord, but they're not thinking twice. I'll get divorced next week. Leviticus 19:12, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name your God. Don't swear on a stack of Bibles or an oath of office. I mean, it's fine that you do these things, but you consider the words you're saying. If you're saying this to God, before God, you need to die honoring that vow because you made a vow before God. That's hard, especially in our culture. Our culture is so broken. Where do you even begin? Where do you even begin? I'm thinking in our culture today, half of the Christians, we're all guilty. We're at some point in my list here, all of us are guilty at some point. Praise God for his grace. But can we do better? Can we do better? Can we think about what we're doing? As it was on the back page here, I'm asking just a couple things here. First of all, be aware. Be aware. We understand what the third commandment says. Look around in our culture. It's being broken everywhere. And you can't do anything about, you know, what everybody else is doing. But you got to examine yourself. If you are guilty of this, it's got to stop. Romans 2:24, once again, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because you're not making his name great. You're not exalting his name. You've made it. You've done everything but that. You've reduced his name. You've made his name common. And there will be a time of reckoning. There will be a time of being held accountable. So first of all, be aware. Is anything coming out of your mouth? Word or deed, anything that is bringing disgrace to the name of God, you who call yourself a Christian. And then secondly, I would ask that you be grieved. I've already said this. Are we nearly as upset when we hear or see our Lord's name, which should be exalted, when we hear or see his name taken in vain? Are we nearly as upset about this as we are about politics? Or about football? Does it offend you enough to turn off the TV, to turn off the radio, to turn off that movie? Don't go to see that movie. Does it offend you enough to possibly hold somebody accountable? And then I got thinking about this. If somebody talked bad about your mother, you think you might say something? Somebody says something bad about your spouse, would you say? If somebody says something bad about your child, and you know it's not true, and they're taking your child's name through the mud, you think he might stand up and say something? And I, you know, this week I was reading all these cute little things that people say to kind of bring light to this. I'm not into cute stuff. I'm just, stop it, okay? It's my God. And I don't want to hear it. So does it grieve you? Are you aware? And thirdly, be different. Be different. Colossians 4, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Make the most of every opportunity. Everything you put on social media, every conversation you have with a family member or with a coworker, our classmate, make the most of every opportunity and honor the name of God. Look for a way to honor the name of God. Don't do what everybody else is doing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. It needs to go. Colonel Sanders says that when he became a Christian, he lost half his vocabulary. So, that might need to happen with some of us here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when your mind is renewed, hopefully your behavior will be renewed. And maybe the words out of your mouth will be renewed. And the words coming out of your mouth will be honoring to Christ. Where am I here? Colossians 3:17. whatever you do, whether in word or deed, because it's not just about your words, it's also about your actions. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, in word or deed. So let me see if I can wrap up a little bit here. They're talking about keeping the name of God great. In the name of God, we don't use Yahweh in our culture today. It's Old Testament. But last week I talked about Jesus as the invisible image of God. The exact representation of his being. What about the name of Jesus? Jesus, who says, I am, which is what Yahweh means, by the way. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. He says, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Which is terrible English, but it's a great point. Jesus is God, is what he's saying. This is why they killed him, by the way. This is why they killed him. He didn't say Yahweh. We don't say Yahweh. We say Jesus. We call upon Jesus. We are given life by the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, let me read this here. Philippians 2, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow, worship, revere. You're going to now or later. Either you're going to bow to Jesus now, willfully surrender to Christ, or you will bow to him later. He will force you to bend your knee and recognize him for who he is. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no other name. In Genesis 3, he begins as a seed of the woman. In Revelation 22, he's the Lord Jesus. The prophet Isaiah, he called him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And later he says he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Luke uses 32 different names for Jesus. He calls him Jesus 100 times. He calls him the Son of the Most High. He calls him my Lord, my Savior, the Horn of Salvation, the Most High, the Rising Sun, Savior, Christ the Lord, Consolation of Israel, the Lord's Christ, Son of David, Jesus of Nazareth, Holy One of God, Master, God, Son of Man, Bridegroom, Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, the Christ of God, Teacher, Good Teacher, King, Stone, Capstone, the Chosen One. Religious leaders of his day called him Rabbi. Political leaders called him King. The disciples called him Master. The angels called him Jesus. I call him Lord. Lord. We exist to praise his name. Revere his name. Declare his name. Defend his name. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So do not profane his name. Do not show contempt for his name. Do not blaspheme his name by your words or by your deeds. The name of Jesus is a big deal. And I would ask you now to call upon his name. To your heart, lead me to you.